chapter 1, point 1. Are you ready? You're going to need your Bible. We're going to be in Acts the whole time. Verse number 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. I want to look at the book of Acts today and see how the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem grew and grew and grew. And I'm trying to focus how that church grew so we up here, we can maybe have a vision to see our church grow and grow just like theirs did. I think sometimes we handcuff the Lord and we just think it can't be done here. Well, that's not true. That's not true. That's negative, unfaithful thinking. So, there's point number one. They started with how many? Somebody just yelled it out to me. 120. All right. Point two. Let's see. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. They went from 120 to 3,000 almost overnight. What would that do to your church if you had 3,000 people come and be saved? How many auto workers do we have here? I shouldn't ask. But if you're not an altar worker trained, you ought to be trained to be an altar worker. You never know when God's going to just smile and kind of just blow the flame of this church brighter and hotter, and multiplied people would come to hear the gospel. In one day, 3,000 added to the church. Verse 47 is point three. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord did what? Added to the church. How often? Daily. And who was at it? Those who were baptized. Those who gave $100,000 towards your building fund. We might think about that. Not long, but we might entertain that. No! The only people that were added, such as should be saved. If you're a member of this church and you are not a born-again Christian, you got it all backwards. And of course, that I know that's not true here, but we who are grounded in the Word of God, we make sure that someone does not get into church, fellowship, membership, or whatever you want to call it, without a genuine salvation experience. Can sit down and delineate that to the pastor, etc., etc. Point four. Let's see here. Chapter 4, verse 4. And I'm pulling verses out of context just to show you the different words that are used to show how God is telling us how that church grew. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Folks, we've got to get the word to them so they can hear it to believe. That's why you have missionaries you support, and you take care of your Jerusalem there, and the missionaries take care of the rest. Well, let's go on there. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was how many? 5,000 men. You know, men are hard to win to the Lord. Those men, not me, of course, but you men, you're hard-headed, big-hearted. I mean, we can go on, stubborn as the day is long. We are hard to get through. What we see here, the gospel knocked down the door of the hearts of those men. 5,000 men. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, they started with how many? 120. And then in Acts 2, how many were added? 3,000. And then they started adding daily such as should be saved. And now we see another 5,000 is added on top of it. I bet they have good offerings. Right? Let's move on. Point 5, chapter 4, verse 17. And the rulers, the religious rulers, are upset about this. And they're talking amongst themselves, saying, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You know what their fear was? That the gospel would continue to spread. Okay, that's what we need. We need to continue to make sure that the gospel is spread, not just in North Ridgeville, but the surrounding suburbs, the great state of Ohio, to the rest of the states and around the world. We need to make sure that the gospel is spread out. Point 6, verse 32, same chapter. And the multitude, well, there's a new word. We're just not talking about 3,000 or 5,000 or 120. Now the Lord is describing how big the church is with the word multitude. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that part of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In other words, there was a need. Maybe someone needed food, shelter, clothing. Maybe they get ready to build a church. Whatever they had, they made it of common use to the work of the Lord to get done. You know, I think one way you'll hit your goal, now there's all kinds of ways you'll hit your goal, I know, but one way is if everybody gets involved. You know, I was sailing along as a member of High Street Baptist Church down there in Columbus, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, the pastor came up with this idea that he wanted to raise $100,000. Gee, willikers. You know what that meant? He wanted everybody to get involved. So I figured I have to get involved somehow. So I donated so many weeks of my school. I helped out in the Christian school there, and they actually paid me some money. I gave all the money for so many weeks. So I fulfilled the number that God had laid on my heart. Now, it cost me. It cost me, folks. It cost me. My pastor, we had three different locations, three different buildings, and each time I raised money to take care of that. And I got involved as well. It cost, okay? It's going to cost you. But I kind of groaned in my spirit. Says, why do you need that money? You look like anybody else. But I saw what he wanted to do. I got behind that. Do you know what? That money I gave, in fact, I think God has already given me that money back. I wish I'd given more now. I'm moving on. That was point six. Point seven, chapter five. We're looking at how the early church at Jerusalem grew. Point seven, let's see here. Chapter five, verse 14. And believers were the more added. Now, they just weren't added. They were more added. Okay, we're using different adjectives and adverbs here to the Lord. Multitudes. It's just not a multitude. Is there an S on the end of that word, multitudes? There is. So it's getting bigger, and God's using bigger numbers to help you and I understand. Multitudes added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and... God have women. Ladies, we can't live without you. We need you. You are important. Church I pastored, I found out that when a man couldn't do something, the women got it done. That was your chance, ladies, to say amen. I'll say that again. I found out when a man couldn't get something done, the women did. And all the women said, whoa, I'd be nervous, men. Gospel's for everyone. You know, wherever the gospel has been preached, the status of ladies and children and elderly, God loves all mankind. Wherever you fall, you are special and important. But I want you to see that Holy Spirit made sure women were added to this list just in case you think you're not included, or just in case you're thinking God is not thinking about you. He is. Verse 16 is point number 8. There came also a multitude. Now we're back to a single. There's no S on this one, but watch. There came also a multitude out of the city. No, out of cities. So there's a multitude coming from different cities round and about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Look at the power of God to take care of not just the spiritual need, but also the outward, the physical need. A multitude from cities round about. Turn the page. At least I need to turn the page. Chapter 5, verses point 9, verse 42. You know this verse. And how often in the temple? Daily. In the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to grow our churches right there. That's always been the verse. When I was at Bible College in 1975, that was the verse. The college just really made sure they hammered away on. And I found that to be true with 30 years of pastoring and even today. You just have to get out there and beat the bushes. And the best way is to do it every day. Every day. There's a man in Columbus I'm thinking right now at the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He is the father of the pastor. He is retired. Every day he spends 5 to 6 hours knocking on doors. Every day of the week. Even Sunday between services, he goes out and knocks on doors. See, right when you think that maybe the church is asking too much of you, you see what other people do, and he does it gladly. He looks forward to it. He could probably take a second job. He probably could use the money. Being retired, I don't know if he has a whole lot, but that's what he does with his time. Isn't that wonderful? Chapter 6, this is point 10 I'm going on. And in those days, when the number of disciples was added, we're changing math here, aren't we? Was multiplied. I mean, it's so big that we have to multiply now. Exponentially. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. I like that idea of being multiplied. I mean, would you rather have God, we'll take the number 10. Would you rather have God add $10 to your spiritual bank account, whatever's in there, or would you rather have God multiply your spiritual bank account times 10? See, there's a vast difference between adding to something and then multiplying that something by whatever number, 5, 10, 20, 100, whatever it might be. But now God is multiplying the numbers of believers in this early church. In chapter 6, point 11, and the word of God increased. Now, there's another way of describing how it's growing. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. And then he adds, greatly. Greatly. Now, I believe that's another adverb there. Multiplied greatly. So, it just wasn't added to or multiplied. Now, it's multiplied to the nth degree. Anybody familiar with exponents? Like if you have 10 to the first power, that means 10. If you have 10 to the second power, that's 100. 10 to the third power, that means 1,000. So each one of those exponents stands for zeros. So 10 to the fourth would be the number 1 and 4 zeros. And this is how God is growing this church exponentially. If you could just get 10 to the second power here, wouldn't that be great? If you could grow by 100 people this year, Why can't you? Why can't Grace Baptist Church grow by 100 people this year? I don't know why. If we follow the formula that we see written down as an example to our churches in the 21st century, we do what they did, it's going to grow. Because why? Why is it going to grow? Here's why. Because God wants it to grow more than all of us together do 100 times over. God wants your church to be busting out at the seams. That's what he wants. Let's see here. Point 12, chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were, oh my goodness, they're scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Well, remember the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1 and 2? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts? Well, they had Jerusalem covered pretty well. But look what it says here. Now, they finally got scattered into Judea and Samaria. They were a little slow to fulfill what the Lord wanted them to do, which was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So God allowed persecution to come upon that church, so the gospel would spread. Remember, spread is one of the words we used earlier in one of our points. God wanted the word to spread around the world, and they weren't doing it. So he allowed persecution. They were scattered everywhere, and especially Judea, Samaria. And then verse 4 is our 13th point. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere and rooted for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Wait! Thank you. And they're rooting for the Browns. No, we weep for the Browns. I was born in Cleveland, in case you didn't get that. Went everywhere preaching the word. You see, that was their goal. That was their bread and butter. That was their desire. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what God wanted them to do. Sometimes God has to help us along a little bit. Here he persecution. Maybe God will allow things to get a little tight here, kind of push the church forward, the building back there, going forward there, and cause us to trust him more. Last point 13, I'm going to bog down. Point 14 is in chapter 9, verse 31. Again, we're talking how the early church grew from 120 to where they're at by the end of the time we're done today. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Remember Judea and Samaria we just talked about, and were edified. That means they were built up and walking in the fear of the Lord. That meant, I believe I get from that, they were living holy, consecrated lives. That will help your church to grow. As the members of this church live holy, consecrated lives, God will bless that. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we're multiplied. Now the churches are being multiplied. If there's a regret I have after 30 years of pastoring, it was that I didn't start a church out of my church. Now, we supported other churches in Ohio. We supported churches around the country. Obviously, on the foreign field, we supported the churches. But I wish I'd started a church out of my church, which was Central Baptist. But you know why I didn't? And I'm just being transparent. I was greedy. I didn't want to lose any members. I worked so hard to get them. Getting people to come to church and ground them and get them to tithe and serve and fix buses and come and clean and work on the church. You can't find people like that every day. And I think my fear was, if I gave them up to start a church, how would I replace them? But the answer is what? God always replaces. Always replaces. And if there's one thing I could do over again, I would do my best of my ability, start a church. I had the people who, we could have done it. We could have done it. And I did not. What was that point there? There it is, verse 31. And it says there, the churches were multiplied. Churches. We need more churches. We have too many missionaries and not enough churches to support them. Used to be missionaries could go 2-3 years to get support. Some are still able to do that depending on where they go in the world. But I was at a mission conference in Canton last November, and they said now the average missionary needs 70 to 80 churches to raise enough money to actually take care of things once they're on the foreign field. So it's an amazing thing. Point, let's see here. I'm looking for it. 15, chapter 11, verse 19. Now, earlier we were talking about God allowed persecution and God scattered them. And when they scattered, they went everywhere preaching, especially Judea and Samaria. Verse 19, now they which were scattered, still talking about from Jerusalem, these who were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. What were they doing still? Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Still, they were thinking it was just for the Jews, but I want you to know they were well beyond Jerusalem. They were well beyond Judea and Samaria. Now they're going to the uttermost parts of the known world, right here, to those places. They're still preaching the word. The Lord doesn't come back for 50 years. You think this church will still be preaching the word? You know, so many churches that ran hundreds and yea thousands last century, no longer preaching the word today. They have changed. You go to England, look at some of those great historic Baptist churches there. And in Wales, they're almost non-existent. But here are these churches, and these men, and these believers are still preaching the word. I think it's important that we continue in the apostles' doctrine that is talked about in the book of Acts. Point 16 is verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was against them or with them? Hey, if God be for you, who could be against you? And as long as you're preaching the word as a church, God is with you. He was with them and a great number believe. Now God doesn't even use the word multitude anymore. He just calls it a great number. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. See, that's the idea of salvation. We turn away from the world to the Lord. It's 180 degrees, isn't it? It's not 360 because we're right back in the world, right? It is a 180-degree turn that we take. We turn from the world and the old life and the old thoughts, and we turn to the Lord. That's what the gospel has the power to do. get the gospel out. That's why the gospel is the only hope people have of a good life in this life, and of course, heaven, is that they turn to the Lord. Verse 17, talking about Barnabas here, for he was a good man. Verse 24, I should say, point 17, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. What? That's a pretty good man. He's called good, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of faith. I'd say he's a pretty good Christian, pretty good preacher. And much people was added unto the Lord. It wasn't just added to the Lord. It wasn't the more added to the Lord, but the progression of that word, more, much, much better. Now it's much is added to the Lord. This church is still growing everywhere. These churches are growing as they heard the word of God spoke. In chapter 12, verse 24 is point 18. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Don't think God forgot about multiplication here. He's still multiplying how the churches grew in numbers. And how many doors can Pastor White say knock on in 4 hours? Anybody want to throw out a number? In 4 hours, how many doors do they get knocked on? 50, 100, depending if people are home or not home, people he talks to? How many doors do you think everybody here could knock on in 4 hours? A whole lot more than 40 or 50 or 100, right? You see, that's how you can grow by a greater number and exponential thought, is by everybody being involved. Every year we had a spring Sunday school contest and a fall. And at first I was really excited. But after about 10, 15 years in, it was like pulling teeth. So I really had to get myself squared away and get ready for this big campaign, because people knew what was coming and I knew what was coming. And before our big day that concluded the spring campaign and the fall campaign, the final Sunday, we had the day before Saturday all-day visitation. And when I say all day, I'm not talking about from 10 to 11 and going home. I'm talking about starting at 8 in the morning, going to 3 in the afternoon, going to Wendy's or McDonald's, eating, and then going out till it was dark. The longer I pastored, the harder that was. I always saw results, though. People want it so easy today, and I'm normal. I like things that are easy. If you have visitation Saturday, show up with donuts at 10, come back at 11 for a nice lunch, go home, watch the Buckeyes or something. You know, that could do that. But out there wanting 4 to 6 to 10 hours out there in the field, now I'm worn down just thinking about it, because I know what that is. Yet, I know that's the way great churches are built, when we sacrifice to get the word out. God blesses and honors our work there. Getting bogged down. Point 19. Let's see. It hid. It hit on me. Where did 19 go? I've lost 19. Chapter 13, verse 44, it says. There it is. And the next Sabbath day, now this is a city where the gospel really is growing, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Now, you'd have to back up to get the context of what is going on. Can you imagine all of North Ridgeville coming out? I mean, what would get North Ridgeville to come out here to hear what's going on? There'd have to be some tremendous testimonies flying off the shelf what this church is doing. I mean, they got to see cars parked all over the way, place, into the street. They got to see a light put in the entrance and exit out there. They have to see 2 or 3 policemen directing traffic in and out. They have to see something going on. They have to see results in a newspaper where hundreds are saved. I mean, you've got to get the word out that something exciting is happening, and the gospel is exciting. It is not boring. It is not stale. It is to those who aren't in the word, but it isn't the rest. Point 20 is verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I don't even name the cities. That's the uttermost. That's what the Lord wanted in Acts 1:8. I keep saying it, but I want you to get it. Jerusalem, they got that covered. Judea and Samaria, he scattered them. That got covered. Now we're in the whole region. An entire region of the planet has now heard the word, because it's been
must have wrought.
Point 21, chapter 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews, watch it here, and of the geeks. Is that geeks? That's some of you who are geeks. No, it says the Greeks believe. That'd be what? Gentile believers. See, the gospel just wasn't for the Jews. Now, there was a lot of fighting going on in the book of Acts over the gospel going to the Gentiles and a lot of things there. And you'll have, that's another story for another time, I guess. But I want you to know that the Lord wants everyone saved. What's that song we sing? Yellow, red or yellow, black or white? They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And here we find that the Jewish people are reached, but also the Greeks, the Gentiles. That's point 21. Point 22 is in chapter 16, verse 5. 16:5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. Still going strong. When Billy Sunday came to Columbus in about 1913, he had a seven-week revival in January and February, and it seemed almost every day people were getting saved. But, you know, he left. The churches were filled because of his revival there. New churches were built, old buildings torn down, new buildings to hold everybody. But, you know, after a year or so, it kind of cooled off. Isn't that? But not here. Not here. We started in chapter 1. Here we are in chapter 16 years later. And so were the churches established in the faith, and we have this continual thought here, and increased in number daily. That meant somebody's still going out every day. Somebody from these churches are still going out every day, handing out tracts, knocking on doors, wherever you go, work, whether you're going to Walmart, or going out to eat, talking to a waitress. I mean, you are getting the word out, and God is honoring and blessing that. Point 23 in chapter 17. I'm going to make it here. Chapter 17, verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. A big one. A large one. And of the chief women, not a few. Okay, so now we're not just saying men or just saying women. Now we're saying chief women. Important women. Educated women. Rich women. Powerful women were being saved. See, the gospel's classless. It doesn't care if you're upper class, lower class, middle class. Sometimes we go into a rich area town and people are white collar there. We get somewhat intimidated. And I get that. I feel that too. But I always like what D.L. Moody said when he was in England. Someone said, how do you feel when you get up in front of all these dignitaries in England and all these wealthy, important political people and all the military brass that are there? I mean, aren't you intimidated? And D.L. Moody says, when I get up to preach the searchless gospel of Christ, all men are as grasshoppers before me. Wasn't intimidated at all. Because he had the only message that would change their lives. 24, we did that. I don't know, did I do 24? I'm going to do it. Chapter 19, verse 10. Did I do that? Okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Well, it's a long time to keep something going. Think about having revival every night for 2 years. Oh, my goodness. Wow, okay. So that all they that dwell in Asia, would you say that's the uttermost part of the world? Yes. So that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody's getting it. Chapter 19, verse 20. This is point 25. So, how grew the word now? Mightily. Powerfully. So, mightily grew the word of God, and look what it did. It prevailed. Man, it overcame. People with powerful addictions today, what can deliver them? People are they're carrying around these huge balls and chains of concrete that are dragging them down. And the temptations are awful, overwhelming, and they've been in addiction maybe for years. The only thing that's going to get them out of that is going to be the Word of God, because it will prevail. The power of the Bible, the gospel. Dynamite, this gospel is. Point 26, verse 26. Moreover, you see him here that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia. You get that? But almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. That's what we're telling people, right? There's no other God. There's no way to heaven outside of Christ. Now, if you say that at work, on a job, sparks are going to fly. People are going to get angry and mad at you. They're going to say, oh, all roads lead to heaven. And you're going to say, no, no, no. The only door that will open is the door of Jesus Christ to heaven. People are going to get mad. They're going to tell the boss. They're gonna persecute you. You are gonna be on their hit list. Forget any extra chicken nuggets from McDonald's that day from them. You're getting nothing. No other way. Point 27. Hey, we're doing good here. Now I have one more point after this, so I guess I say we have 28 points, but it's kind of an epilogue. You know what an epilogue is? It's kind of the end of all, kind of like an amen. This is what Paul said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I just wonder how much blood, this is me personally, that I'm going to have on my hands for opportunities that I didn't take advantage of. Hand someone a tract, invite someone to church, maybe some of those people I thought, well, they probably don't care about the Lord. I just won't give them the track. That might have been the person that God had crossed my path. I may have that person's blood in my hand. So I'll just share that with you. How many persons' blood will we have on our hands because we didn't do what Paul did? We shared the gospel with all. You say, well, I've done it and I haven't had good results. Well, turn with me to chapter 28, and this is the last point. This is the epilogue. So I got to keep it a 27-point message. This is the epilogue, kind of like the conclusion. Did Paul have 100% success? It almost looks like it, doesn't it? But then we have this little epilogue point to help us. Verse 24, Paul's in Rome, and he gave the gospel out, and it says here, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Not everybody's going to believe. You may knock on 100 doors and not get anywhere. That's part of the group that will not believe. But there always will be some who do. Now, I think we can have revival. God wants revival. I also would not, for what I want. I will not argue the point that some think we're in a point of gleaning. Like when the threshers went through the field, they got all the wheat. And whatever was left behind, the widows would come through and glean and pick up what they didn't get. Some insist we are in a point of gleaning right now. Now, I'm not going to dispute that, but that still doesn't stop me to think that God can have revival and fill your church up. And I think God can fill any church up if the people will follow the formula set down in the book of Acts. I just gave you 27 points. It's all positive, isn't it? It's all positive. Your church grew like this, your pastor would have 5 or 6 more easels there. Phase 1, 5, phase 10. Going to buy a Cleveland Baptist church next. Don't have enough. Wouldn't that be something? This is our blueprint as New Testament Baptist churches as to how to grow a church. It's been done in the past. It's being done now. And it can be done in the future. But will the church collectively